Am I supposed to move?
No.
Well, I draw.
No.
Really, it's simple.
We're ready, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we'll call together the Joint Committee on Transportation Preservation and Modernization. It is February 27th, 2017. Colleagues, we're going to start off with a very quick work session to introduce committee measures. So we'll open a work session on that. I will note that they're in front of you. Actually, the list, if you turn it over on the back, what they are is placeholder bills that will allow us to develop a package and put them together. So, having said that, the chair moves LC 2855, dated 11-2-16, LC 2856, dated 10-24-16, LC 2859, dated 10-25-16, LC 2862, dated 11-2-16, LC 2864, dated 11-2-16, LC 2866, dated 11-2-16, LC 2869, dated 11-2-16, and the routine disclosure introducing the bills doesn't commit you either to support or oppose them, particularly since in this case you don't know what's going to be in them. So, having said that, is there discussion on the motion to introduce? Senator?
Sorry to come in late and then have an opinion. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. These are 7 pieces of complicated drafting, and I just am imparting a sense of urgency that we are now, for all intents and purposes, on March the 1st. With no agreed-upon framework, and I'm sort of struggling to see how we're going to get there in a committee of 14 negotiating off of these 4 work groups. So there's a great sense of urgency with all of these.
Agreed. Anything else? Anybody else? Is there any opposition to the motion? Motion is adopted. Okay, we'll close the work session, and we'll move to our information meeting. I would start off with colleagues saying, reminding you that we have a target date of having the work group's initial work completed and reported recommendations from your area by March 15th. March 8th would be great, but I think the
March 15th.
I'm recognizing Senator Johnson's comments moving forward. So again, that's where we are. So we want to start out with a report out of where we are, Senator Boquist.
Before you do that, question.
Senator Johnson.
We've done these kind of verbal reports to keep the whole committee up to speed, and I know amongst the usual list of suspects that there's considerable frustration in that not everybody can attend all 4 of the meetings simultaneously, and there's a certain cross-pollination of interests. But leaving that aside, we're doing these verbal reports. What mechanism do the 4 chairs of this, or chairs and co-chairs, expect the information to come to the committee of the whole? Is it going to be written? Is it verbal? How will we, the rest of us, receive the information? Who's going to synthesize those 4 reports? Are you guys going to go in the hermetically sealed room and give us the synthesis, or are we going to attempt to blend these? How's that mechanism going to work?
My expectation, and I will invite my co-chairs to comment on that, is that we will be working to that, and that you're sometime between March 8th and March 15th, the subgroups will get together and look at a written report and get an agreement and forward it out to. And that written report then will be available to everybody and this committee as a whole.
Sorry, I haven't quite beaten this to death, and you didn't answer my question. Are we all going to sit down with the 4 reports and say this is how maintenance and preservation fits into congestion, or are you guys going to do that for us and we get the synopsis?
No, I think we are going to discuss it as a 14, member 14.
So each one of us will have 4 little report outs and 5 if the accountability begins cranking up here.
Correct.
Okay. I think that's correct.
And then we take those, and in a setting like this, we all sit down and we say, yes, I like finding number 1 from the Boquist work group. No, I don't like finding number 1 from the...
Congestion, don't blame me.
No, I would never blame you for anything. That how it's going to work?
Yeah, and okay. Then I expect at that point we will have a consensus and probably the four of us, or maybe other subgroups will be formed to sensitize that based on the verbal agreements we have here.
So we do the broadest brush strokes here with a kind of thumbs up, thumbs down, and we get some consensus. Will there be an opportunity for minority reports at that point, or will that be such a big look that then you guys take it in the room someplace and you digest what you both read from the subgroups and what you heard in the committee and you come back with a work product? Or?
I would hope that if there's minority opinions that they're expressed right off the bat up front.
Some of us will not struggle with that.
Because if I have to sit in many more meetings with three other people to my right to synthesize, and then you come blow it out of the water afterwards when you had the opportunity to say, no, this is just drop dead, we're not doing this one in my mind, or we absolutely have this, and then I would expect, you know, my observation is our work group will come up with a series of spreadsheets that we either all come to agreement or all the minority stuff is put on it. We'll draft it up, have all the members do it, put all the minority comments in it, that this stinks or doesn't stink, and we will produce that for the rest of the committee. That's how our sub work group is going to work. And then I would guess after that, once we have the four presentations and the minority opinions and everything back and forth, then, as Senator Beyer says, we'll try and synthesize something together, and we'll start in the round robin fashion of between members to look at it to see if everybody's saying something close. And from there, the food fight will begin, Senator.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have a timetable too?
I think July 7th is that.
I think beginning on March 15th, then the workload changes. Once the work groups have reported out and we begin the process that Senator Boquist talks about, there may be an opportunity for us to go back to our work groups and work on other issues that become of importance. So I think there's a possibility there may be more work to do there. I'll turn to Representative Bentz.
I will just say that given the scope of some of the issues that have heard, we've heard, that I think it's extremely probable that the work groups will be getting more work just because there's just too much that just doesn't lend itself to having 14 people opine upon it. But I don't know what the congestion work group has been doing. Perhaps its scope of work.
And
such a broad scope of work that perhaps there will be nothing left for the rest of us to do. We can simply adopt their report and move on to the floor, or not.
Representative Olson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I truly do appreciate, I mean, we've had some texting both back and forth between the co-chairs and myself about moving forward with where we're wanting to go with the audit team. And my pitch to you is that I think we need to move on this quickly. There is an urgency here, and I think it all boils down to the idea, especially from the audit team's perspective, of the accountability mechanism with this. And we have to get this all done first, I think, really, before you're able to move forward with everything else in this committee. I guess I'll finish out, too, that I know I appreciate both of you supporting the idea of trying to carve out time either on a Monday or a Wednesday night here over the next few weeks. But right now we're trying to set up something either on the 6th or the 8th, 13th or the 15th. Now, 13th and 15th to me is getting deep. You know, we're running along. That's why I speak for the urgency piece.
Other comments? Senator?
Yeah, I agree with Representative Olson. I think, and I sit on the audits committee, I think it's important that we review the audits, or the fact is we've been told that it's not really an audit, but we need to go over the numbers and make sure that if we're going to invest this money, that it's going to be spent wisely. And there are a lot of people out there that just don't believe that. So I think the credibility of the audit is extremely important, and we need to review that prior to you guys coming up with a package.
Senator, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think they're.
Well, I'm not saying they are either. I'm just saying it's. I agree with Representative Olson. I'd rather do it sooner than later.
Well, okay. Other general discussion? Okay, so let's see if we can do a quick update on where we're at. I suspect there's not a lot different going on. There's probably continuing work, but so we can get out of here and get to the work groups.
Suggestion work group last Monday went through some of the financing mechanisms, finance 101, so on and so forth like that. We did a joint meeting, I guess, with whatever work group, the chair from the House chairs. I'm not sure what work. I guess that's we were congestion and you're what?
Multimodal.
We did it together and listened to Northwest.
We joined forces.
With Eco Northwest on tolling, and then we sent some time in our own work group that Wednesday evening, going through revenue tonight and the next Wednesday night. We'll be working on exactly that revenue and finance piece, trying to figure out how we'd finance these mega projects or this $1 billion ask in the congestion area without bankrupting Senator or Representative Bentz down there. I mean, my goal is to try and still come up with something that's quite economical that allows the majority of the funds to be used elsewhere.
And in the congestion committee, we spent most of our time listening to legislative revenue, talking about the potential revenue sources for transportation, talk some about if there's an opportunity or what opportunities there might be to do something with bicycles, and focused on moving the transportation towards the final package, as we were talking about a few minutes ago. So just moving right along.
In the multimodal group, let's see, I'll go back to the 20th. It was our rail evening, and we had folks from Coos Bay Rail Link, Union Pacific, Burlington Northern, and Santa Fe, and a representative of the Lake County Railroad talked a bit about tunnel issues that are occurring that are constraining freight that are very specific. Tunnel 13 talked about the six-mile curves up around the Rose Quarter and some other areas around the state where there is potential to ease freight congestion. On the 22nd, once again, we joined Senator Boquist and spent an hour with Matthew Kitchen from Eco Northwest looking at the issue around tollings. And then we spent an hour with Mr. Malik from Legislative Revenue discussing potential sources of revenue that may be specific to intermodal projects. And tonight we're going to do an in-depth dive on Connect Oregon, starting with the history of Connect and where it began, where we are, and things that we may be doing to help that project be more efficient and maybe a little more directed. And tonight we're going to have an update from Biz Oregon that's very specific to our port community around dredging.
So we are continuing to review the challenge of catching up after 24 years of, as the phrase is used, disinvestment. I'd sure like to have a better word than that. But finding the money to preserve, maintain, and address seismic issues is really the challenge. But we know we can't do it all in 1 year or in one bill necessarily. So what we'll be doing tonight is listening to Paul Mather go through some of the budget scenarios that over a long period of time would address how far behind we are and how we might catch up. Some great charts and graphs, but they all reflect 25 years of not having invested. So some of our discussion tonight will also be on how all of us here begin to talk about this package more loudly. And I shouldn't say the package so much as the need for it. And so I would strongly recommend that anybody who is enthusiastic about this bill passing begin to figure out how they're going to start telling the larger group of folks in Oregon how badly we need to invest in our roads. And to that end, we'll be discussing, I know the four co-chairs, of what to do about a messaging approach to this, which we've discussed in the past, but perhaps it's time to start bearing down now that we're getting closer to knowing that we're actually going to seriously address this transportation issue.
That's right.
Listening to those report outs, a couple of things occur to me. In the congestion group, because I haven't had the opportunity to be in any of the others, but in the congestion group, one of the sort of appealing parts of it is local skin in the game, for lack of a better word, local participation. And I would hope, and particularly when you're talking about Connect Oregon, which I've followed very closely since its inception, to talk about skin in the game versus grants. And I know that small places will immediately say, we don't have any money, there's no way we can participate, it has to stay as grants. Maybe if the timeline were changed. I think we have transcended a point in time where it's just show me the money state and we'll build. I think having a broader discussion about what how shared sacrifice to get us caught up might have value. The other thing, apropos the comments made by Representative Bentz, is the question of how do you explain how long out some of these projects are going to be from now to commencement, when just today I had constituents call and complain to me about the condition of I-5. And if we're saying, please forbear for four more years while we plan to do something, and in the meantime, the undercarriage of their car is getting ripped out in the center lane of I-5, I think that no one should discount what Representative Bentz just said about messaging. We also, if we're going to have full-throated participation from our JPAC colleagues, a bond's going to have to pass, and there's going to have to be some participation there. I don't know whether cities and counties have agreed to what level of bonding they might want to engage in for their half of the half. And so I don't know at what point those questions get asked and answered, and maybe they already have been by our leadership. I don't know that. But it seems to me that the messaging piece of this is going to be pretty important given the deplorable state of our system following the last storms that were so tough on it.
Agreed.
Other comments? Senator?
I just hope the other three sub-work groups or work groups that are working out there, I mean, I anticipate congestion is going to, we're on a 10-year plan right now of the mega disaster. And there's probably still 5 to 10 years on the other end of that, including 7 or 8 other smaller pieces. So I would expect to be on a 20-year horizon with the recommendations that we come up. So yep. I would hope that the other three work groups are not working on 2-year plans or 5-year plans, or else we're going to be hanging out there 20 years, and we will take your money at the other end.
Senator Monroe.
We're going to hopefully raise a bundle of money, and it will be divided 50-30-20. That means that counties and cities will have revenue to have skin in the game. I would anticipate that they will have to have skin in the game. A part of their 30 and 20 may have to be used to match on some of these projects that are needed. You know, it's not like we're asking them to put skin in the game and not giving them the resources to do that. They will have some resources.
One last question. I don't know, and I'm looking to Mr. Garrett, not necessarily for an answer now, but to put him on notice that I think this becomes an important part of the discussion, is when the lion's share of some of the bonds are repaid and how much money that infuses back into ODOT and what the plan for that money becomes if we're asking Oregonians to step up on the front end and front end load a lot of expenditure with, I think, appropriate expectations that they're not going to disappear in a pothole in Canby. But what's the plan for that other money and who makes the decisions about its application?
You had some of that, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Okay, anything else? Let's go to work.